Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so grateful that you are back for another episode. Please do take note that all opinions and recommendations and encouragements that are shared on this podcast are my personal opinion or the opinion of the guests that I have on. It is not to be taken as medical or mental health advice. Please do consult your medical professional or your mental health professional with any questions or changes that you would like to make regarding your own personal situation. Welcome back to the Successful Diligence Podcast. I am so excited that you are back for another episode. I never ever take it for granted that you come back and lend your ear, your time to listen to the show. And as I always say, and I really mean it, that's why I say it every single episode, is that I am so committed to bringing you value-added content, really interesting human beings who add value to your life, conversations that will give you strategies and tips and tools on creating a life that you actually want to be living. And today is no different. I have a very special guest with me. It's going to be a really interesting conversation. His name is Diego Casina, and he is a business coach. And he helps coaches and consultants convert completely cold prospects. And if you're not in business, cold prospects means stranger, someone that you have no idea who it is at first. And he helps them convert these people into high-ticket clients in 7 days or less. And he has videos that have been seen by over 7 million people in over 110 countries. And he's also been published in Success Magazines, among other publications. And he also is very humble. So there's a lot of things that he has done in his life that he has not yet shared in his bio that we're going to dig into, because I am just really excited to introduce you to him and expose you to his perspective on life and success and all the things. So Diego, welcome to the show.
Hey, Michelle, thank you so much for that that robust introduction. Thank you so much. I'm super honored to be here, and I'm so happy to be connecting with your audience as well.
I am so excited for them to get to know you. And for those who are just now hearing your name for the first time, they haven't seen these thousands and millions of videos and content that you've produced. Tell us a little bit about who you are and how you came to do the work that you do.
Yeah, for sure. So, you know, again, you know, my name is Diego. So the work that I do is really helping, you know, in the area of business. So how to create sales, how to convert completely cold people that have never seen any of your stuff online, don't know who you are. And the way that I got there was first by actually by being a dating coach. And the way I got to becoming a dating coach was by not knowing anything online. You know, not knowing anything about connecting with other people. I mean, I was, I think you could say, probably the most anxious individual possible when it came to social conversations of any sort. I mean, I'd shake, literally shake. I'd turn red. I'd sweat. My palms would sweat. I felt powerless. I didn't feel like I could be my true self. And so that's kind of where the journey began.
Wow. Yeah. And to know you now, because I've met you sort of after that, I you would have never known that about you. You never would have guessed that, which tells me that there's a journey there, right? And listeners, you know me, I'm digging into the details for you, because anxiety is something that a lot of people deal with. And especially with the pandemic, loneliness and lack of social connection, and then learning how to reconnect with people, it can be challenging, right? And so let's talk a little bit about going from feeling like you don't have power to being empowered, or feeling like you do have power. Talk to me about your journey in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, my journey in that process was actually the real beginning of my confidence journey in having like real conviction with anything that I sold or anything that I provided. So I was in a place that I felt incredibly powerless. And to give context to your listeners, your viewers, is I was in a position where I was in a kind of like a toxic relationships of sorts, you know, and I was also toxic in my desire of that relationship. And so I'm in this place where nothing's working. I'm neglecting my goals. You know, it's I felt like an imposter, you know, trying to help people, not feel, really feeling fully healed myself. Coming home from work at the time, you know, I'm fully in my business, but at the time I was doing the side hustle thing. And so I'd come home on a Friday night and I would get into bed. And the only person that I would speak to was, you know, the pizza delivery boy, you know, because that's, you know, that was my connection on that weekend. And I was just, I would stay in bed. I was neglecting myself. I was doing everything that I could, reading every book that I possibly could. But there was only one way that I could describe it, in the same way that many people would describe their situation or their experience, was powerless, you know. And I remember there was a particular moment when I shot out of bed. I was reading as much as I possibly could to get out of this complete dark moment in my life. I mean, complete depression, you know, at moments there were the flashes of, you know, suicidal thoughts and stuff. And in that place, I thought, wow, what if, you know, if the poison's powerlessness, what if the antidote to that poison is in fact power? And so I had to reformulate my relationship with that word and, you know, and then really bring it back into my life.
That's so interesting. You know, oftentimes, and I've been in a dark season as well, and listeners, I'm sure you have as well. And it's really interesting, the messages that come and the courage that it takes to listen to those messages that present themselves to us. And, you know, what's fascinating to me is that you were feeling so disempowered, so powerless, right? And your confidence was low and you weren't taking care of yourself. And you got this message that, what if, right? So that it was a new question for you, what if? And then it was almost like, well, what if the answer is the opposite? That's so fascinating to me. And so what does power even mean? So how did you interpret the word power?
Yeah. So for me, power was, you know, I mean, I knew what the opposite was. Like I could group any of those moments when perhaps I didn't feel like I was in control of my emotions or the way another person might respond to me. You know, I didn't feel like I had real control over my finances, let's say. And so to some degree, you might call it control. But at a much bigger level than that, you know, I realized that it was being myself. And I realized that I was always powerful and that I had learned oppositely. And so the way I decided in that moment is like, okay, am I going to continue to live programmed by my society, by these thoughts and the feelings that I have, you know, that perhaps are not leading to me feeling energized, empowered, productive, you know, and, or am I going to live in my true power, in my real self, you know? And so in a weird way, what happened in that moment was I said, power is me. I am power. And anything opposite to that is what I deemed to be, you know, hogwash, said it, you know, in a kind way.
We are a G-rated show here, so I appreciate that. Yeah. But, you know, that's interesting to me because a lot of people say power, they use control, like you mentioned, but also power's influence. But I've never actually heard someone equate power with authenticity or truth of self, right? And listeners, you know, I have to always talk about being true to yourself and understanding what that is. And so that's so interesting that when you sort of interpreted what I know and have learned and been taught is not really the truth of who I am, that's the key to unlocking empowerment in my life. Because if I can unlearn that, right, and tap into the truth of me, or you in this case, then you can actually achieve the success in life and be the person, the best version of yourself that you want to, is what I'm hearing, which is fascinating. I've never actually heard someone say that. That's so interesting.
Yeah, I have an analogy that I've at times used for myself and also for people that I work with. So it's, you know, I realize that, the way to describe this is if we were in a train car and we happen to see that in another train car, there's one sole individual. It happens to be an older gentleman, let's say. And you and I were in this train car and we're looking in on this person's behavior. And, you know, and this person has a sweater in their lap. And we look at this behavior and all of a sudden, you know, it gets cold in this person's train car. Yep. So then what does he do? He puts on the sweater. So, you know, the question I ask is, did the person put on their sweater? Right.
So, yeah, he did put on the sweater.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that makes sense. Right. And then if it gets really warm in their train car, then they take off their sweater. So let me ask you again, did he take off his sweater?
Yes.
Right. Right. I mean, that seems.
I'm questioning whether that's right or not.
Yeah. So then and then it gets cold again in his train car and then he puts on his sweater. So then did he put on his sweater?
Yes. So he put it on and he took it off.
Okay, cool. So, and that's what most people would think, you know, given the information that you have at your present availability. Now we switch the camera angle and now we're in that train car that you and I are in. And you look at me and you go, it's so odd, this person's behavior. And I go, yeah, isn't it? And I have my hand on the thermostat and I'm switching it left and right. You see? And so the question then becomes, did that person put on his sweater and take it off? Or did I put it on for him and take it off for him?
Oh, now that is fascinating. That's a really interesting perspective of questioning.
So when
I'm still sitting with that, because that's listeners, did you catch that? Did he really take off the sweater and put it on, or did Diego holding the thermostat put it on and take it off? That's interesting. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so then that was the place that I was in, and I go, wow. So these thoughts and these feelings and these actions, so actions are born from thoughts and feelings, and we can't really, so, you know, sometimes it's the thought that leads to an action. So I think I'm hungry, and then all of a sudden I eat something. Sometimes I feel I'm hungry, and then I think I'm hungry, and I go and I eat something, right? Sometimes I feel sad, and I start crying. Sometimes I think about a sad song, and then, you know, I start feeling a certain way, and I start crying. So, you know, thoughts and feelings, it's like this cloud that leads to actions. So I'm thinking about this individual, you know, and that individual's me. And I go, why am I doing the things that I'm doing right now? And then, of course, it's because of certain thoughts or certain feelings. And then, but what caused those thoughts and feelings in the first place? And so that's where I start to really question the program. And how often are we trained to be a certain way to fit into a certain society? Knowing that we were all born from tribal societies where you had to fit in or you were rejected, and that is akin to death. And so we start changing what we believe to be ourselves. You know, what I like to say is people defend their programming as if it's their personality. I go, no, those are two different things. That's so interesting,
Diego. And if you're watching this in the VIP group, you can see that Diego is sitting next to an image of a tree, which is fascinating, because what you're talking about, Diego, is getting to the root of who's holding the power switch, right? Who's programming, who's putting those ideas and thoughts and shaping the person that you eventually become? Is it you or is it someone else? And that is a fascinating question when we talk about unlearning and relearning to tap into the truth of who you really are, which is the root of the tree of you. And that is really interesting. What I love that you're also highlighting, and listeners, we've talked about this before, is that it sounds like you were also asking new questions that were then provoking you to have to really dig and become thoughtful and reflective to get new answers.
Yeah. I mean, so for instance, you know, I'm in the middle of this toxic relationship at the time, right? And you know, what do most people say? Well, let go. But the reality is, you know, let go, first off, that's a half strategy. That's kind of like if you were to talk to a trapeze artist and you said, well, you know, let go, yeah, you killed the guy, you know? So it's like, where am I headed to? And so I realized also, you know, if we think back to tribal societies, you know, and these are 150 person societies. There's actually a scientific study around this. It's called Dunbar's number. You know, we tend to only look at about 150 to 190 people. In social media, our eyes actually, it scans 150 to 190 people. Military factions are most efficient around 150 to 190 people after they drop off. And so this is the size of our tribes of old. And, you know, if you think, well, okay, I let go. I mean, you would never, ever let go of something that you deem to be more powerful than you, whether it be a person or be a thought. You know, these days, in this day and age, it can be a guru you've never met. It could be a thought. It could be an idea. You know, and so I realized that the only way that I can let go, so to say, is when I am in the middle and I say, okay, I'm going to put my king's cap back on, or, you know, the crown back on. And so this is oftentimes when I'm speaking to people, I'll say, you know, oh, how are you doing, queen? How are you doing, king? You know, because to remind them of the power that they already are. And when you put the person in power, now you can let go. Because, hey, there's 149 other people or 149 other ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. And you get to use your superpower of choice onto what you're going to accept and integrate and what you're going to reject and say, no, that's not mine. That doesn't belong to me. Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. So, and I know you and I have had conversations outside of the podcast, and I want to bring the audience into one concept that we've talked about that I found so powerful and empowering for me is that, and you sort of alluded to it, is that it's unlearning to get back to who you always were, because you are who you are. And the power to unlock the door of success for your life is getting back to who you already are and bringing that into your present. So talk to me about that concept, about being who you already are.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because we're living in this journey of life, you know, and sometimes I say, you know, sometimes we forget who we are so we can remember what we once forgot, you know? So there's these moments when, you know, you go through some challenge, some struggle, some strife, and then you're so focused on the day-to-day or just getting past that thing that you've forgotten, you know, your very roots, your very beliefs, your identities, you know, and then comes along this moment. You know, and that could be a friend, it could be a conversation, it could be just a thing you watch on TV, it could be a podcast, you know, and then all of a sudden you get reminded of, you know, who you truly are, you know, and I believe also to some degree, you know, and I don't know, maybe I'm going off on some crazy tangent here, but so in New York, there's the Museum of Natural History. And I find that for whatever reason, I always go to I forget the name, but you go to these displays of just, you know, artistic just beauty, where they have, you know, whether it be an elephant or it be a Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, so you walk up to this display and it shows you what life may have looked like at a different stage of life. And so I always find myself returning back to these Amazonian tribes, you know, and I don't know why I'm looking at this bow and arrow, you know, but I like to think that in some way, you know, my ancestors are calling out to me. You know, they're saying, like, this is who you always were, you know, and I really start thinking about that, because each and every single listener right now, every single one of us, you know, the reason that we're here right now is because we're successful. Like, every ancestor up until now has been successful to get us to this point, and so have we, you know, and so sometimes we have to, like, touch back to that, like, that evolutionary just gene, if you want to call it that. And remind ourselves of, like, no, we were born successful, you know? and we forget, you know, at least I do. I forget quite often.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. I'm a person of faith. And so, you know, mm-hmm. when people start talking about their ancestors talking to them, I'm like, but I do think there's validity to the genetic passing on of who we are, right? Because mm-hmm. the reason that I'm different than you is because I have a different genetic lineage, right? A different heritage that comes mm-hmm. from, you know, thousands and thousands of years of people getting together and the genes getting interspersed together to create this unique person. And I love that concept that just by making it to the earth, just by being born, you have already established that you are successful, period. Yeah. And it's almost like everything else is like the sprinkles on top of the cupcake, right? Like, you've done it. And so you can almost take that weight off your shoulders of trying to prove that you are a success. And you can sort of enjoy the journey a little bit more when you allow yourself to understand that you're just remembering who you are, because it's been there since birth, and you're deprogramming, unlearning to get to the destiny and the destination that you were born to fulfill.
100%. I really believe that. So in those moments that I was challenged, I think, and feeling disempowered or powerless, I had a motto or a thing that I would say to myself. And that was, You know, I only trust those thoughts and feelings that empower me, energize me, make me more productive in anything, by anything else, anything. I mean, everything else is absolute and utter hogwash, right? And so for me, you know, it was like, it's not to say that, you know, a feeling that goes sideways, you know, or a moment of sadness is something to be discarded. But it just reminded me of, you know, I can choose, I can play this game. You know, these are my emotions. And so yeah, touching on that point, it was like energy is I found so essential. It's like what people hire you for is your energy. You know, what people marry you for is your energy. You know, and when I started realizing that, I said, what can I do right now to increase my energy, to optimize my energy, to enjoy like the day to day? You know, there's always going to be another horizon, but it doesn't mean that I can't enjoy the horizon, you know? So, yeah.
And where do you want to enjoy the horizon, and how do you want to enjoy the horizon, and who do you want to enjoy it with? And, yeah. You know, you're right. Energy is a scientific fact, right? And energy and spirit are for me a little bit parallel, and we're not going to go into the spirituality part of it because it's not that type of show, but there's definite integration of energy and spirit and showing up in truth to success, right? And that's something, listeners, that, you know, we always talk about. And there, and I forget who said it, and there's so many people who have said it, I'm sure, but like success leaves clues, right? And so when you see someone that is successful, or when you get an idea of success and empowerment and you want that, right, then you can sort of map a journey for yourself to get there. And so Diego, I'm wondering if you can chat with us a little bit about how you went from your side hustle, right, and the dream of building something of success, and being this unhappy, feeling like you have no power, non-confident man, to who you are now, which is full-time in your business. You exude confidence, so I'm assuming you have it. I can't speak for you. And to where you are now, which is, I mean, you exude joy. Your energy is one of happiness and joy and contentment. So talk to me about how you got there. Like, are there any strategic steps that you took, any practices that you integrated? How did you do it?
I can think of two things specifically. One is taking responsibility for my state in life. So for instance, you know, I was, as I mentioned before, feeling like I was in this toxic relationship, and I alluded to this, but I'll just touch on it, is, and I've shared some of this with some of my friends. I remember I was in this place where I was feeling horrible, and I walked up to one of my best friends, who's a doctor in the ER. And, you know, he's had a similar challenge in his life. And I said, you know, I can't get past this thing. It's so toxic, this relationship, it's so toxic. And I'm in one of the worst moments of my life. And to put it into perspective for the listeners, I mean, literally every 2 minutes I was hit with pangs of deep depression. And so in that moment, my friend says to me, you know, Diego, so in the ER, every so often there comes in an individual who's poisoned. And when this person's poisoned, the toxicologist, they ask me, they say, you know, I talked to the toxicologist and said, you know, this person's, he's poisoned, you know, we got to get him the antidote. And what they say is, they say, well, how much poison did he drink? And my friend says, what do you mean, how much did he drink? He drank poison. And they go, no, the toxicity is in the dose, not the poison. And I thought about that, and I go, yeah. And so I thought to myself, I said, you know, just because I have bleach in my home underneath the cupboard, it doesn't mean it's poisonous to me right now. Why? Because I'm not drinking it. And so, so the toxicity is in my action. And I said, okay, so I have to take responsibility for my action as well.
That is huge right there. Hashtag adulting, can we say as well? Because part of accepting responsibility for your life is, I think, is one of the most freeing moments, but it is sometimes so challenging because it's you, right? And you have to look in the mirror, and then you have to evaluate your actions and your behavior and your choices, which have been you. And, you know, that can be a challenging, courageous journey. And so was that sort of, it sounds like it was a light bulb understanding, and I love the metaphor of the poison. So thank you for that. For you, what was that like to implement the courage to choose to take responsibility for your life?
Oh, I mean, it wasn't easy. You know, it's like, I've often heard it say, you know, the epiphany is like that moment where your life changes, but you know, what the reality is, and we both know this, is epiphany happens. And then, you know, you start going back and forth between like your new lesson and your old behavior. And so it was almost like the beginning of that journey. But I realized, okay, I gotta make this thing happen. I gotta change my life around. And so, you know, I did change that, my approach to that relationship, you know, and the relationship actually blossomed and bloomed in a way that I would have never expected. And then, you know, so then one of the questions you asked is, okay, well, you have this business that you're running as a side hustle, you're not feeling all that great. Then what happened? What was that final shift, you know, for you to exercise that courage? And so I had been in that business for 5 years or so, always having this carrot that I would dangle in front of me about the one day I'm going to make it. It's going to be this amazing thing. And I have all these people, and, you know, and I'm making the impact and everything that I want. And that's how I tricked myself. You know, and so what happened was, it was always this thing in the future. And I started to program in my own mentality that it'll always be in the future. And sure enough, and so I'm working at an airline at the time, and COVID hits, right? And so it was always on the side hustle, so always the side hustle. And I never had that confidence to go all in. And so COVID hits. And sure enough, you know, it hits quite hard to the airline industry. And at some point, the business I was working in, you know, they say, you know, so, hey, listen, you guys, there's a very high possibility that we're not going to be able to pay you. And so you got to make a choice. Do you want to leave? We'll give you a little bit of money if you leave now, or, you know, you stick it out, you know, and we'll see where we go from there. And, you know, and I wanted to live abroad. I wanted all these things. I wanted my business to grow. And I thought to myself, you know what, if I don't do this now, and that was the scary part. I said, it's scary. It's going to be so scary for me to jump and go into this business full time, especially in the midst of, you know, one of the great, something that's never, like, I've never lived in it. You know, many of us haven't, you know? And so I'm like, I have no clue what's going on. Uncertainty is the emotion of the day, or the emotion of the year. And I go, okay. But here, and this is a moment that it really did it for me. You know, I guess they say people are motivated by you know, they're what they want, but they're also motivated by what they fear. And I say, okay, it's scary if I make a jump into my business. But what was scarier to me was, if I don't do this now, I will have to accept deep down in myself that for the last 5 years, I've been lying to myself. I go, that I've been lying to myself with this carrot.
Wow.
And that was the moment that I said, and as soon as I had that distinction, I go, I can't not do this. I have to jump.
Well, because once you know something, you can't unknow it. And so you knew a truth, and you can't unknow that. You can't, that's something that's there. Now it's in your present. It's in your consciousness. That is fascinating. And yeah, 2020, I think, well, and they say, you mentioned, we're motivated by pain and fear, and mm-hmm. avoidance or pain, and, hashtag Tony Robbins for all of that stuff. He goes into depth about that in his, Releasing the Giant book. But you know, it's fascinating how, to me at least, how life presents us with opportunities again and again and again. And I always say this, and listeners, I think you've heard me say this before, that when the student is ready, the teacher will come. And oftentimes life presents opportunities again and again for us to get the lesson. And sometimes it's the last chance to take the lesson and you feel it, you know it, because as you said, Diego, you've always known, right? And we're just unlearning to get back to what we've always known. And I just think it's so fascinating. And it's such a key to success to tell the truth. And yet it's something that so many people find so challenging to do, you know, for a variety of reasons. So it's so interesting. So let me ask you, since you've made that shift, right, to show up in truth and to be authentic and to walk in the power that was already inside of you that you had not chosen to tap into, how has that changed your life in terms of how it looks today?
I mean, yeah, it's basically the fear that you have to dive into. You know, and you dive into that fear, and when there's no, you know, diving into your own business is, and I created a situation where it was sink or swim. And when it becomes sink or swim, the lessons hit at a much deeper level. You know, they hit at the gut level. And so you have to learn the lessons to go out there, to connect with people, to make sales, to help other people, to grow your business, et cetera. And so for me, like that's where I learn and I relearn. And what, as you mentioned, you know, I think when it comes to like the authenticity and the expression of true self and showing up as you truly are, I believe that can only happen once you've embraced your power, you know, because in that sense, you're not trying to placate or please. And that's one thing that had always been a challenge for me growing up is, I was always kind of like a pleasing individual, you know, trying to please other people and be nice. And what I realized was, you know, there is a difference between that and being real and being honest and being transparent. And so for instance, you know, earlier today, I had a conversation with an individual and, you know, I could have said something that would be the pity pat on the back to make them feel better. Or I could be very honest, very blunt, but in a very like, in a coaching way, in a tough love way. And you know, this person's messaged me and said, thank you, you know, but I would have never gotten to that place of authenticity if I didn't get to that place of authenticity with myself, you know, and I can't say that I've arrived and now it's all perfect. It's something I got to continue to exercise each and every single day to remind myself.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're all on the journey, right? And we all make mistakes and get it wrong and get it right. But I think it goes back to showing up in truth in the energy and the spirit of where you're coming from. And you were coming from a place of love and coaching and care and concern. And so that comes through even with the tough message, you know, of the tough love. And love is not, you know, and you were a relationship coach. Love is not roses and champagne and massages and feel goods all the time. That's not really what love is. For me, I've learned love is work. It's a choice. You have to be intentional and put effort into it. So, you know, what is love to you from your perspective?
I don't know. The first thing that comes to my mind is love is being, you know, and I truly believe it's almost like, you know, it's loving a person in their faults as well. And the same thing that we do with ourselves, you know, knowing that, you know, if they're expressing themselves fully, you know, and if there's a strong communication there, if whether that be the person that's in the mirror or the person that's across the coffee table from you. You know, if you live in that space where, you know, you're forgiving and, you know, you see the best in the individual and you're okay with, you know, the ups and the downs, knowing that that's just life. I think when you're in that place, energetically, it's, I guess what we might call love.
Yeah. You know, what's resonating for me about this is for me, what's coming up is love is truth. And truth is sometimes easy to accept and other times not so much, but it's always true. It's and love is true. Because love, I think, is something that people think is so elusive, and yet it's always there with us if we just choose to see it and tap into it, both for ourselves, like you said, and for others. This is, wow. I feel like we could go down the rabbit hole like so much more. and you have so much to offer and to value and, you know, to a value to give. If you were to think about, like, I don't know, one or two things that you really wanted to highlight for the audience to really walk away from this conversation with, what would those be?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So I'd say the number one thing is to focus as much as you can on your energy. What can you do to not in the sense of, you know, let me react to the day and then try to fix things, but what can you do to start the day from that place, you know, and to transfer emotionally that to other people, you know? And so I think when you're coming from that place, your cup is full. And I think if anything else, it would probably be to really focus on what energizes you, what empowers you, you know, what makes you feel more productive, not busy, but, you know, productive in the things that matter to you. You know, even if that's going out there and, you know, playing a soccer game, you know, because that energizes you, you know, if it's sleeping, you know, 8 hours, but that energizes you, you know? And so, yeah, I think if you focus on those things, what happens is what we tend to focus on as it expands, as they say. So I would say I would leave the audience with those as those are the same things that I listen to myself and try to live by.
Yeah, I love it. And I love how I often say, you know, do more of what serves you. And, you know, whatever you're seeking is seeking you, and whatever you focus on, you get more of. It's all the same messages, just different language, mm-hmm. different phraseology, which speaks to, again, listeners, what I always say is that, you know, there's a gift inside of you that really doesn't belong to you. It belongs to those who are assigned to your life, who you will meet to either receive from or to give. And that's why it's so important to walk in truth in our lives and to get back in touch with what we've always known, as Diego has said, and to unlearn the programming that's been put on us. And I just, this has been such an empowering conversation for me. My last question for you before we get into how can people connect with you is gratitude. What is your understanding of gratitude, and has it played a part in your journey at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just today I was thinking about this, you know, today I had a team meeting, client calls, you know, this podcast, and I had trainings I had to do. And in the past that would have brought me anxiety. And today I realized I was just so chill and enjoying the moment. And so for me, it's really this is until you're thankful for what you have, you know, the universe, God, love, energy, however you want to call this beautiful deity or you know, experience that we get to experience, you know, until you can appreciate what you have, you'll never get more of it, you know? And so the journey is really to appreciate what you have, however small that is, because that, in my opinion, is when you've reached riches.
Yeah, and that's abundance. And abundance does not mean a whole bunch. It's the quality versus the quantity. And abundance can be, you know, very little, but you have everything in that very little. I love that. Love that. Diego, you are such a gem in this world, shining so bright. I just love it. If people are like, yo, this dude is like speaking to me, I want to hear more, I need to connect with him, how can people find you? Where can they connect with you?
So you could go to diegocasina.com. You know, feel free to drop in your email. I'll give some goodies that way and we'll connect that way. Otherwise, if a place that I'm really active in is, you can find me on Facebook if you want to send a personal message, or Instagram, which is on Instagram, I'm Diego_official. You know, as there's a lot of Diego Casinas in this world, you know, have them, you know, for whoever's listening, send me a message, you know, send me Michelle's name, Successful Diligence, or the name of the podcast, and we'll connect.
And I'll put all of the links in the show notes, listeners, as I always do for you, so you can click and go, make it real easy. Diego, I'm so, so grateful that I was able to get on your schedule and get this show recorded for my audience, who I know got value, as I always do every time I talk to you. Thank you so much for lending your time and for showing up just as the wonderful human being that you are.
Michelle, the honor was all mine. Thank you to all your listeners. Thank you to you. I'm glad I could get on your busy schedule as well. And just honestly, thank you. I'm in great gratitude, empowered, and completely authentic. So yeah.
It's all love over here. And listeners, as I always say, keep walking, always, always keep walking, because if you continue to walk, you will reach your destiny. You will reach your destination. You will achieve the purpose that you were created for. And on the journey, as always, I encourage you to always, always choose gratitude. As you know, every single episode, I end with my encouragement for you to choose gratitude on your journey as you keep walking. But have you ever asked yourself, that's great, Michelle, but how do I do that? How do I implement gratitude? How do I choose gratitude? It's not easy living this life. And sometimes I don't feel very grateful. How do I incorporate gratitude into my daily life? Well, I've got you covered. Just for you, I have a Gateway to Gratitude mini course in the Successful Diligence School. There is a link in the show notes, as well as a coupon code just for podcast listeners, where you get 50% off. So head to the link in the show notes or successfuldiligence.com and click the school tab on the website. It will take you to the school and you can see the Gateway to Gratitude course, which walks you through how to implement gratitude into your daily life. Trust me, gratitude and gratefulness, when implemented effectively, will change your life. How do you know, man?